Wow. Just wow. Wow, 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 wow. Softball wow on tonight's episode of Locked On Sooners.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Sooner Nation? Welcome to Locked On Sooners, and thank you for making Locked On Sooners your first listen every single day. We're free and available on all podcast platforms. I'm John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. My buddy here is Josh Helmer. You can follow him on Twitter at JoshOnRef. You can also hear him Monday through Friday from 9 to noon on 94.7 The Ref in Norman. Josh, what a Saturday. Just an incredible atmosphere, an incredible game. The Oklahoma Sooners rally with a three-run home run by Kinzie Hansen in the top of the seventh, two outs, two strikes, two on. The dream scenario, right, for every, you know, little kid playing baseball or softball is to be in that moment. Kinzie Hansen comes up with the game-tying home run, and then Tiara Jennings puts Oklahoma ahead in the top of the ninth, and then Jordy Ball just slams the door on Clemson's offense. Oklahoma Sooners win 8-7 to advance to the Women's College World Series. They win their 48th consecutive game, breaking the all-time win streak record that was 47, and do it in such dramatic fashion on the what is most likely the last time that Oklahoma will play softball at Merida Hines Field.
Yeah, the broadcast crew, the fact that they kept saying the final postseason game at Merida Hines Field was kind of interesting, as if, and probably this shouldn't be a shock, but as if there's a chance that maybe next season opens at Merida Hines Field if things don't go totally according to plan with the timeline of Love's Field. But, I mean, obviously the hope is that they open next season at Love's Field, and this weekend was treated as though it was the final, hopefully, two games at Merida Hines Field, where Oklahoma's built this dynasty. John, this game was just incredible. And stop me if you've heard that before. Over the past decade plus now, this run of dominance for Sooner softball. And if you want to take it all the way back to the 2000 group, who in this incredible dynastic run of late that Oklahoma's gone on, the 2000 team probably gets overshadowed and lost, unfortunately, just based on the fact that they're not a part of this recent string of national championships for Oklahoma, but they laid the foundation, and this group of late has just taken this program into a different stratosphere, and they make a day like Saturday normal. It's, yeah. And yet the beautiful thing about it was, John, I was thinking about what I would say tonight. We decided we need to tape early while it's fresh, while the Oklahoma softball victory was still top of the mind, and when 48 just happened. There's moments in sports that, John, are just, they're a reminder of why you and I do this, or why you, a listener, tune into this show, Locked On Sooners, or why you, a viewer on YouTube, tune in to Locked On Sooners, or why, dang it, through all the frustration, for some reason you flip that television set on, or you flip that stream on again, and you watch again. This was one of those moments for Oklahoma softball. And again, for Oklahoma athletics, John, it's been in large part arguably the softball program that's provided most of those types of moments for Sooner fans over the last, 5 years, decade, however long, right? Or at least the highest highs of those moments. And this was another one of those moments. And the fact that it was for what it was for, John, I was grinning. I was grinning ear to ear. I couldn't scream because I couldn't freak out the cats in Casa de Helmer. But man, as excitable as I could be, I was that excited for Kinzie Hansen's blast, because it was just one of those moments, man. I think Sooner fans will remember, right, exactly where they were in that moment in time.
Yeah, it's exactly one of those things. And the whole setup, I felt like, just was building towards that. Did I have doubts? Of course. I feel like the people that are out there that they say never a doubt, more power to you guys. I've watched too much sports in my life. Like a 3-run, you know, deficit, you know, bottom of the seventh or top of the seventh, things just, you know, they're, you know, Valerie Cagle, she's pitching well in the sixth inning and the seventh to keep Oklahoma at bay. I'll admit I had doubts. Should I not? Maybe not. Like, I'm never going to bet against this team. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to what it came to, man, it's, and then when she comes through, Kinzie Hansen just bombs it. And they said on the broadcast, you know, a high and away pitch that she pulls all the way to left field and just deep, deep into the stands. Like, such a clutch moment, of just one of many clutch moments for Kinzie Hansen. You talk about players that kind of can often get overlooked, you know, with the greatness that Jada Coleman and Tiare Jennings are, and, you know, Jocelyn Allo in previous years. Kinzie Hansen's kind of one of those players that can often, I don't want to say get overlooked or fall by the wayside, but she doesn't always get named in that same kind of breath as Jada and Tiare, as, you know, National Player of the Year finalists, things like that. But I mean, just a couple years ago, she had a 20 home run season. She's shown you this year just how valuable she is behind the plate, at the plate. And she comes through in just big, big moments for the Sooners. And she did it again on Saturday with this 3-run shot. I mean, it couldn't have gone, you couldn't have scripted it any better. It's Patty Gasso's birthday. You know, it's a chance to go to the Women's College World Series. It's everything. It's everything, you know, and all of college softball is tuned in on a Saturday when, you know, there's games starting at crazy early times in the morning with Stanford and Duke, and then just all day long going on. The whole softball world is tuned in. All of Sooner Nation's tuned in. And a lot of, you know, people who would kind of be fringe softball fans, maybe they're even tuned in. I'm sure that there were, like, you know, people that were watching, you know, Penn State Duke, you know, seeing that crawl across the bottom, you know, Oklahoma's down 7-4, you know, chasing an all-time win record. And they're like, oh man, that's interesting. And then to see the game tied, like, it's one of those games that does transcend just even being a Sooner fan. It's huge. I mean, it was an absolutely huge game, and a credit to Clemson. I mean, Clemson pushed Oklahoma to the brink. They absolutely did. And I mean, it would not have been surprising to see this go to a Sunday and have to play a winner take all game against a really good Clemson team. You know, a team that before Oklahoma erupted on Friday had kind of started to chip away at Oklahoma's lead a little bit. So just an incredible, incredible Saturday. The atmosphere at Merida Hines, again, phenomenal. You know, the crowd, you know, off and on were kind of into it, but ultimately they were into it when they needed to be, you know, eighth and ninth inning when, you know, Jordy Ball's out there pitching, you know, they're making a lot of noise. The home run park, like, that was absolutely crazy to see how many people were out in home run park, and just the engaged way that they were involved in the game as well. So just, again, you know, hats off to everybody, a part of the production, the game, all of it, just a phenomenal, phenomenal day for the Sooners.
So I want to share a couple of reasons, John, why I thought it was just the perfect fitting way for this to happen for not even just Oklahoma softball, but for Sooner athletics. But first, let me tell you, Built Bar. We love Built Bar. Why? Because if you're looking for a delicious snack and you don't want all of that sugar and all those calories, you need the best tasting protein for a bar ever. Built Bar. You gotta try it. And if you're like me, you're trying to make the healthier snack choices, this can sometimes be complicated for myself, John, and maybe for you out there. You don't want to compromise that taste. Go to built.com where you can get everything you're looking for. Only 130 calories, though, 4 grams of sugar, but a whopping 17 grams of protein. So you're packing that protein in and you're cutting that sugar out, which sometimes can be challenging. So head on over to built.com. This was so fitting, John, for Oklahoma Sooner softball, because it is what we know Oklahoma Sooner softball to be, right? Just when that you mentioned, congratulations to anyone that truly had no doubts, because look, I'm the same way, man. I mean, how can doubt not creep in? you're down to your final strike, not your final out, your final strike on multiple occasions. And yet we've seen this from Oklahoma. We've seen it throughout the course of this winning streak. We've seen it throughout the course of these last several championship runs. We've seen it in years where Oklahoma didn't get that ultimate prize, but along the way, there were magical Sooner magic moments. This was Oklahoma softball, this run of dominance in a nutshell. And it was perfect in a way, John, so fitting in a way that it never should have gotten to that point, because you led 4-2. And then wait a second, what happened? This pitching staff that doesn't give up multi-run home runs has given up two of those, and now this thing is derailing on Oklahoma. But they find a way to do what Oklahoma softball does, which is conjure up this moment that, even though you know it's possible because this program has done it a million times, it creeps in there somewhere. Oh, they're not going to be able to do this. They're not going to be able to do this. And then the other thing, John, that I thought was so fitting about it is just the number 47 and the historical significance that, of course, that has for Oklahoma football and just for the university itself in terms of its athletics history. It felt like, and you know, and don't lie to me, it entered there. You thought for yourself, I had the tweet all lined up in my head. Well, Clemson, you have made the naughty list with Notre Dame. I'm sorry, Brent Venables, but Clemson officially on the naughty list, and they will not be invited back in any sort of happy good graces anytime soon. And yet Oklahoma, fitting, I thought, again, in that respect, that it crept in. Oh, no, they're going to have to share that number with Oklahoma football. And this one is not an exciting one like Oklahoma football, because you don't share it. You don't hold it outright. But, of course, in a fitting tip of the cap, Oklahoma able to get the number 48.
Well, we talk all the time about Patty Gasso's greatness and her legend, and to now have 48 consecutive wins, have the all-time, you know, win streak record. I think that part is fitting. You know, not that we need any more proof to cement her legacy or to say she's one of the greatest college coaches of all time across any sport, but to have that little feather in the cap, I think is pretty cool. You know, Gasso would tell you, and she said it, you know, in the buildup to, you know, to the super regional, the record was not on her mind. It was not a focus. It was not a priority, but you can't not recognize it and acknowledge it. It's just there. I mean, it might be this kind of, you know, bad loaf of bread sitting over there that you want to get rid of and you don't want any part of, but it's still there. And I mean, you never talk about win streaks when you're on a win streak. That's just sports law, basically. But to have that and to get it, it's got to be a huge weight off of everybody, right? Even if they don't talk about it as a team, even if the coaches don't acknowledge it, you got to know that they're seeing it and they're seeing the talk about it, because these girls are on social media just like we are, and people are talking about it. So to have that weight off their shoulders, the advancement to the Women's College World Series is there. They've got it secured. Now they can just go play softball. They don't have to think about win streaks. They don't got to think about, you know, the final game at Marina Hines Field or the final weekend at Marina Hines Field. It was an emotional weekend for a lot of ways. And so it wouldn't have been surprising to see the loss. I mean, it would have been surprising because they'd only lost once this year, but it would have been understandable given the weekend and all of the emotion that was at play in the weekend. But to then come back and get the win is absolutely huge. Josh, I feel like we kind of need to start acknowledging just like certain player contributions and different takeaways from the game, because I mean, the back-to-back home runs to start off the game, I mean, incredible. I know that, you know, Oklahoma eventually lost the lead, but I think it kind of goes to show just how quickly this team can jump on opponents. And they did. I mean, they set the tone early. And although Clemson was able to kind of settle in a little bit, you just knew that Oklahoma's bats were going to stay hot and they were going to continue to fire away on Clemson.
Well, and, you know, leading up to the final two home runs for Oklahoma, the game-tying three-run blast from Kinzie Hansen, and then, of course, the game winner, the ultimate game winner for T.R.A. Jennings. Because you, again, and you know it going in if you're Clemson, you respect it going in if you're Clemson. If you're anybody, you know about the firepower of this team, whether it's home runs or just the extra base hitting, you know. But even on that one singular day when the game, yes, starts out with back-to-back bops and Merida Hines is jumping like that, it's in there, right? For a pitcher, again, you know that going in. Like, if I step in this circle, every single hitter, 1 through 9, can take this thing out of here and take this softball for a ride. But it does add that, I think, just little bit of extra nerves maybe for an opponent. Even somebody, you know, I don't know that, you know, Cagle to me made a good pitch and it was just better hitting from Hansen. But, you know, to some degree, yeah. I mean, I think when you jump on an opponent like that, it sets the stage. And then John ultimately kept Oklahoma just within striking distance to do what they did because of the way they started.
Right. And to be able to have that rally in the seventh, you know, kickstarted by Riley Boone yet again. I mean, the table setter at the back end of the lineup. I mean, I said it on social media that on 99.9% of collegiate softball teams across all divisions, she would be their leadoff hitter. But yet she's batting ninth for Oklahoma because you've got arguably the best leadoff hitter in the game in Jada Coleman at number one. But Riley Boone, she gets the leadoff single, just a little bloop single into right field. And then, you know, you don't get anything out of your stars. Jada Coleman, Tiara Jennings, they're not able to produce or move runners over. And then Haley Lee, a big-time transfer addition that Patty Gasso brought in, another bloop single to right. You know, and that brings up Kinzie Hansen, who then works the two, you know, gets the two-strike count and is able to make a great, great play. You know, just what a great swing. I mean, she just used that length that she has and that strength to be able to do what she did is just absolutely incredible. And again, you know, just her work behind the plate as, you know, the signal caller and just, you know, communicating with her pitchers, and then Jordy Ball's performance in the final three innings. I mean, nothing. Clemson had a base hit and that was it. There was no threat to score. And that's what you need out of your best pitcher. I know her numbers aren't necessarily as good as Alex Tarocco's. And I mean, they might be a little bit closer now after today, but I mean, for most of the season, Alex Tarocco, Nicole May had much better ERAs than Jordy Ball did, but this showed you why Jordy Ball is one of the best pitchers in college softball in the performance that she had. Three innings pitched, just one hit, three strikeouts. Like, again, just dominant. And her command was absolutely incredible. She was attacking the zone. She was not trying to pitch around the zone and just, you know, hit corners and, you know, avoid Clemson's hitter. She was attacking him and unafraid. And that's what you need from one of your leaders. And just a phenomenal performance from her. And, you know, there's so many others, like the, you know, the bases loaded, kind of, they got what, hit by pitch and a couple walks, and, you know, Sophia Nugent got the, you know, the ground out to get a run. So just a lot of performances, even all weekend, that Oklahoma was able to get to secure the super regional. Just impressive altogether.
Tip of the cap to you, and a tip of the cap to my ref compadre, one Tyler McComas, who tweeted, it was Riley Boone who singled with no outs when OU trailed Texas by 2 before Jada tied it. It was Riley Boone who singled yesterday before Haley Lee hit a grand slam. And it was Riley Boone who singled today when OU was down 3 before Kinzie Hansen tied it. Do you notice a trend? I think that Sooner softball fans obviously notice that trend. The other person that obviously it's easy to point to here is Jordy Ball. Jordy Ball, we've talked about her ability coming out of the bullpen to be that closer, right? And here in this moment, she came in, had to go get some tough outs, John. Even after you tie the ball game, I mean, you could get walked off coming right back the bottom of the seventh, and instead, Jordy Ball's able to do what Jordy Ball does, which is in important moments, go get outs and shut the door on Clemson. So she was truly, John, the role of a closer for Oklahoma in this thing, and was dominant and needed to be so.
Indeed, Josh, indeed. And the fun thing about it, she's just a sophomore. So we get 2 more years out of Jordy Ball. Jordy Ball, that's the way it goes. And you don't want to face Jordy Ball in the late innings of a game. I think she just takes her game to a whole different level when the final outs are within reach. She just goes to that place that the great closers in Major League Baseball go to. It's like, you're not going to get anything on me. You might get a hit, but you're not going to score, and you're definitely not going to get a lead. You're definitely not going to win. So shout out Jordy Ball. All right. We want to read a few Twitter reactions that we got from you folks over on at Locked On Sooners. If you follow us, make sure you send us your takes. We love to share your feedback and share your reactions to certain things. So Jada Coleman Stan, this is at Venables Defense, says the biggest takeaway, Boone always comes through when we need her most. Again, starting off all those rallies, and you mentioned it, Josh, just another incredible, timely hit from Riley Boone.
Well, and I don't even know if she would still be in this category, but what you said about Kinzie Hansen applies to Riley Boone in the sense that, okay, this is not Jada Coleman or T.R.A. Jennings or Jordy Ball or Jocelyn Allo before, or Lauren Chamberlain, on and on and on, right? Kehlani Ricketts, in the sense that it's that, to borrow, whichever, well, and I don't even know that I need to, but you're Michael Jordan, you're LeBron James, you're, whichever megastar you want to pick from a sport, she's maybe overlooked at times, and probably now not going to be, because in a lot of those teams, it's just easy because you watch a lot of those other sports, like a Robert Horry, right, was always the guy that hit this big shot when you needed a big shot. And Riley Boone has been that for Oklahoma. It's, if there's a moment where the opportunity is presented to her to make a big play, typically she makes the big play.
Next one I want to talk about, K9 is a beast. I mean, enough said there. I mean, yeah, she just, again, comes through. She was huge again on this stage, just leading Oklahoma and being able to come through with a clutch hit in the way that she did. I mean, you can't ask for much more than that from, I mean, she's one of your best players. And, now she's up to 415 on the season with 12 home runs, 53 RBIs. And remember, she kind of missed the first part of the season. She's only played in 44 games and is third on the team in RBIs.
Well, again, I keep going back to what you said earlier, because I thought it was well stated. Kinzie Hansen is a star, but she, in some ways, because of the nature of the star power at Oklahoma, hasn't been maybe across the board, and because of injuries too. Injuries last year were a big time challenge, though Kinzie Hansen wouldn't use that as any sort of an excuse. Privately, it was, I think, pretty well known that Kinzie Hansen had maybe more injury problems than she was letting on publicly. So that definitely held up the star trajectory a little bit for Kinzie Hansen. But that being said, it's just, there's so many stars at Oklahoma that it's tough to be always that star. I mean, it's just the way that it is. But Kinzie Hansen on this day, in this moment, on a weekend, John, where you have Sooner greats talking about what Merida Hines and their history and memories that Merida Hines mean to them. And this is the house that they built and the house that they grew up in, not just as athletes, but as women. And as mothers and as, society figures going forward. And you've got the Polaroid picture display on social media that was so cool that they integrated into the broadcast, and on and on and on. All these great moments, right? And the final great moment, even though the winner was T.R.A. Jennings, John, the moment that everybody will always remember from this game, the one that gives you the all-time consecutive wins record, it's Kinzie Hansen. So if you want to say that she's not the Jocelyn Allo or Lauren Chamberlain star, well, now her name forever in Sooner softball history will be attached to a moment that it's going to be remembered above the T.R.A. home run in this game, because it's the game extender. It's this the streak extender. So that's a pretty cool little takeaway.
Yeah, it's the one that gave you a chance for the T.R.A. Jennings moment later in the game. I mean, if you don't get Kinzie Hansen, you don't get T.R.A. Jennings. So absolutely huge. Last Twitter comment here from Boulder M. This is at MO underscore Sooner. It says all credit to OU and Gasso. From the pitch prior to the grand slam yesterday through today, Cagle did not look right. Either the line drive off the leg, tired, or something else. Your thoughts? I mean, she's a great player against a great team. And sometimes this is just the way it goes. You know, she is one of the best players in college softball, a worthy finalist for the National Player of the Year Award. But she also went up against a great team. And it's like Clemson's coach said on Friday, there are no easy outs. And so whoever you're facing in whatever at bat, that's not an easy out. I mean, you look at what you might consider Oklahoma's worst hitter in the lineup regularly, and you know, most people might point to a Sydney Sanders. Well, she's hitting just 292, but again, she had three, you know, she had home runs in three straight games until today, and then she had another really good day today, you know, for the Sooners. So, what did she go? She went 1 for 2, and then she had a walk, so she reached base twice. So, again, you're talking about a player who has only hit 292 this year, and a lot of people are wondering, like, okay, where's she been? She's had a really good postseason so far. And is proving what Clemson's coach is saying, that there are no easy outs. So for Valerie Cagle, like, okay, this is the ACC is a really good conference. They've got really good teams like Duke and Florida State, but it's not Oklahoma. You're not facing a lineup 1 through 9 that can beat you at any moment. And that's just what it comes down to, is the pressure is constant. There's no, you know, you're not facing a guy, you know, I mean, yes, Riley Boone isn't known for her power, but she's got a couple home runs. But even then, her speed will kill you. But 1 through 8 in the lineup, everybody's got power. Everybody's got game-changing power. And that can affect the pitcher when you have no opportunity to take a breath.
So a couple of things here. First of all, I know that this has nothing to do with the batting order itself, but Sydney Sanders' catch was incredible. One of the amazing moments in this game, and what the two Clemson players ducking out of the way, and she tumbles into the dugout and still comes away with it. I mean, amazing. Again, I understand that's not the bat, but just props to Sydney Sanders for that moment when we're talking about Sydney Sanders. The Cagle conversation, John, she was one strike away twice. One strike away twice. So, hey, I got it. Did not get the job done against Oklahoma ultimately, but it's Oklahoma, and the rules are different when it's the University of Oklahoma, because you're going up against the Steel Curtain. You're going up against whichever dynastic run that you consider to be the greatest run in sports history. That's Oklahoma softball. So normal rules do not apply for Cagle in this instance versus Oklahoma. And again, we're not that far separated from maybe this turning out differently in Oklahoma's winning streak stops at 47 and we turn around and there's a Game 3, if necessary, game. It's Oklahoma's greatness that brings this question upon itself here for Cagle. And it wasn't that far away from being the opposite, John.
No, she pitched really, really well when she came into relief. I mean, she held Oklahoma down, but again, a great lineup that she went up against. And you know, it's just one of those things sometimes, you know, even the Curt Schillings, you know, the Pedro Martinez, the great pitchers in Major League Baseball, they just get beat, especially if they're facing a really, really good lineup. And that's just the way it went today. So I don't think you can take anything away from Valerie Cagle and the season that she's had, because she's been phenomenal all year. I mean, she's the closest thing to a Shohei Ohtani of the Anaheim Angels that we have in college softball. Somebody who had, you know, she had 19 home runs on the season and, you know, something like 60 something RBIs, and she has a, you know, sub 1.3 ERA. So like a fantastic season for her, and just went up against now arguably the greatest team in collegiate softball history. And you just get beat sometimes. But I think that's just a testament to what Patty Gasso has built, the lineup that she's built, and how good this team is. And, you know, now they're going to go on to face Stanford in the Women's College World Series to start things off. Tennessee is also going to be in their bracket, and then they're awaiting the winner of Alabama and Washington?
Northwestern.
One of those purple schools. Alabama, Northwestern. And we'll see how that bracket plays out. But, you know, you got to like, obviously you're going to love Oklahoma's chances with however this goes. I mean, Tennessee's a great team. They've had a really, really great season this year as well. You know, Stanford's got one of the best pitchers in collegiate softball in Nigeria Kennedy. So it's going to be a really, really interesting bracket on that side of the Women's College World Series. But again, Oklahoma's lineup is just built different.
Just in closing, again, finishing where we started, an incredible storybook type deal here for Oklahoma softball. For it to end probably at Marietta Hines Field in that way, and the emotions, whether I don't think they were directly, John, necessarily for Coach Gasso related to the relief of getting number 48. I do think it was just the general theatrics of this team once again in a moment like that, standing up to said moment and responding with Marietta Hines in attendance in the final moment at Marietta Hines Field. I think all of that and knowing that, you know, now all of a sudden you're leaving there where you built this thing and you won all these championships and you created all these memories. And, oh, man, the floodgates are opening because we just created one final incredible memory just like that. And now we're going to this this great new place that we've earned through our hard work. It just was the perfect finish to, you know, if you're an Oklahoma fan, a Clemson fans, you've got something very special, by the way, on the rise over there in Clemson softball. You stood up to the test of Sooner softball, and there's not many nationally over the last however long that can say that. But with that being said, Oklahoma, my goodness. I mean, they just do incredible things.
Yeah, it's just what Oklahoma does. I think that's what Sidney Romero shared after the game. It's just what Oklahoma does is create these incredible moments and incredible opportunities. So that's going to do it for tonight's episode of Locked On Sooners. Thanks so much for tuning into the show and being a part wherever you get your podcasts. Free and available on all platforms. Go subscribe over on YouTube. Hit that notification bell to let you know when new episodes drop. Follow Josh on Twitter at JoshOnRef. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. And I'm at John9Williams. We'll catch you next time, Boomer Sooner.